Today, we talk about innovation like it's always been around and like it's always been a good thing. But that isn't historically accurate. Innovation is relatively new, and its density has increased a great deal in the last 100 years. But there are some origin stories about where innovation may have begun to sprout that come out of Greece. So I want to start with some quotes from Greek writers. So we begin with Xenophon. He's writing in his Ways and Means about innovations for stimulating mining and tourism and shipping directly in the city of Athens. And he says, if we do these things, we shall be regarded with more affection by the Greeks, we shall live in greater security, and we will be more glorious, and we may come to see our city secure and prosperous. These are his thoughts on the effects of innovation. Second quote by Plato in his Laws 7. And he's talking about protecting Greek culture. He says, if children innovate in their games, they'll inevitably turn out to be quite different people from the previous generation. Being different, they'll demand a different kind of life, and that will make them want new institutions and laws. His point is that innovation is bad because they had achieved a balanced and productive economy, and that innovation would tend to overthrow that. Third, by Aristotle in his Politics 5, and he's writing about the stability of their political system. He says, since men introduce innovations for reasons connected to their private lives, an authority ought to be set up to exercise supervision over those whose activities are not in keeping with the interests of the Constitution. So he's pointing out that innovation is disruptive and a negative force on the political stability that has been established. So our current view is that innovation is a very positive thing, but that view is really less than a century old. The leading figure in this transformation to a positive point of view was Joseph Schumpeter. His work evolved through the first half of the 20th century, and it was he who exposed and solidified our modern view of innovation as a process of, quote, creative destruction. Here's a quote from his 1942 book. The opening up of new markets, foreign or domestic, and the organizational development from the craft shop and the factory to such concerns as U.S. Steel illustrate the same process of industrial mutation that incessantly revolutionizes the economic structure from within, incessantly destroying the old one, incessantly creating a new one. This process of creative destruction is the essential fact about capitalism. And his book goes on to explain the progress that occurs later on as a result of creative destruction. So prior to Schumpeter's persuasive arguments, innovation was generally viewed as a corruption, disruptive to a well-designed society and business environment. Innovation introduced changes that threatened the livelihoods of innocent and productive citizens who had been practicing an established trade in an established form for generations. This negative view extended back to the early Greek origins of the term, as we saw in the opening quotes. Historians traced the roots of the Greek term for innovation to the writings of Xenophon, who we opened with. He appears to introduce the term in a positive way, suggesting that some innovations could bring economic advancement to Athens. But in the works of Xenophon's more famous contemporaries, Plato and Aristotle, the term was always used with a negative connotation. In their work, innovation was fruitless change, deviation and manipulation in politics, culture, and entertainment, and for its own sake, to advance individual interests over those of the society. For these philosophers who were actively engaged in the thoughtful construction of an ideal society and who sought to create a governing class guided by moral philosophy, that kind of change could only bring unwelcome upheaval. Their emphasis was on protecting the work in order to create a society that was both fair for all citizens and enduring through generations. They were very conscious of the real possibility that the Greek state could descend into a state of chaos and war under the influence of self-interested men. To prevent such a catastrophe, Plato and Aristotle, and many others like them, advised government controls of almost everything, and they stood against any change at any level of society that was not government-sanctioned, even to the play and toys and music of children. Both Plato and Aristotle cited the case of prominent and wealthy citizens who lost their wealth through bad business dealings or basic misfortune. For instance, when their trade ships were lost in a storm. And these people then attempted to use their prominence to reduce or to eliminate their losses by changing the laws of the country in their own favor, perhaps by allowing them to access state funds to rebuild their wealth. Aristotle described a number of principles that he felt would be rational to protect society. Number one, avoid extremes in principles. Number two, do not augment the power or honor of any one man out of proportion to the others. Number three, exceptional prosperity in one section of society is to be guarded against. Number four, ensure that the number of those who wish the Constitution to be maintained is greater than those who do not. Number five, treat each other in a democratic spirit, that is, on an equal footing. And number six, set up an authority for control over change. Plato's and Aristotle's views prevailed for eons. After Xenophon, innovation was not described in the literature in a positive light for nearly 200 years. Not until Plutarch wrote his Lives, which was a collection of biographies of great Greeks and Romans, describing the great innovations in city government that were instituted by the Roman dictator Sulla, the innovative business enterprises of Themistocles, the magnificent innovations in art by Stratocles. But the negative and fearful view of the effects of innovation on the functioning of society remained predominant in Greece, as they still do in many countries today. Even in the 21st century, it's the exception rather than the rule that countries not only allow, but champion innovation in government, business, culture, entertainment, and other facets of society. Athens struggled for more than a century to create a stable and fair government that incorporated these principles. And that struggle was still in progress when Plato and Aristotle were actively writing. Today, the nations that allow innovation tend to be politically stable ones. Perhaps internal stability is a prerequisite for the ability to tolerate and benefit from innovation. Perhaps the acceptance of innovation comes from the kind of stability that gives a society resilience in the face of that change. Where change has the potential to disrupt the entire social order, innovation is a threat to the well-being of all citizens. But where society is structured for resilience in the face of change, innovation can be embraced as a force that will benefit society as a whole, even though it may be destructive to specific pockets of that society. This relationship argues that the need to create a social structure that is resilient to change from both the inside and the outside is really a prerequisite for accepting innovation. Without that property, innovation can only be seen as a threat to be prohibited, and this prohibition will lead to further calcification and decay of the society. Maintenance of the status quo at extreme levels is actually the equivalent of the destruction of that status quo. So, as Schumpeter observed, it would seem that democracy, coupled with capitalism, is one form of flexible stability that can tolerate and even encourage innovation as a means for improving the lives of citizens in the long run.